Hello and welcome to Healing House Radio with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is a chiropractor, energetic healing practitioner, noted public speaker, teacher, and published author. This session will be an exploration in finding true balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. Dr. Eileen will be discussing holistic wellness through indigenous traditions from across the globe and across generations. We then invite you to call in and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen, and welcome back to another half hour of Healing House Radio. It is really great to be here with everybody, and it's also really interesting that today's topic, we're talking about stress. And we've talked about stress before, and I'm going to come from a little bit of a different angle with it today. We're going to talk about some of the ways that, you know, stress is actually not necessarily a bad thing. Now, we talk about, you know, the effects of stress on the body. And yeah, when stress becomes chronic, long-term, and just constant, it really can wear us down. You know, people during the, you know, cold and flu seasons and, you know, they're having to take time off work, that interferes with the body's ability to heal itself. When we're stressed, we don't sleep enough. And research has shown that if you are not getting enough REM sleep, that's R-E-M, which is rapid eye movement. So that's the point, say if someone is sleeping and you're looking at them and their eyes are closed, but you can see the eyes darting back and forth. And generally the idea is it's believed that that's when the person is dreaming. But that rapid eye movement state is necessary in order for us to be able to go into really good restorative sleep, because it's during those phases of sleep that the body kicks in its largest degree of self-repair. And when we're stressed about stuff, we're not getting to that. And, you know, when we look at our relationships, stresses in relationships can really, you know, wear us down. And if you're in a relationship that is stressful or in a situation that's stressful, it builds upon itself. So it is really important to, you know, keep in perspective. I am not saying by any means that stress is good for you. What I'm saying is that in everything there's light and shadow. Everything has that good piece and has that negative piece. And stress, when correctly applied and managed, actually can be something that can keep your system very, very vital. And let me explain what I mean by that. When we have situations where a short-term burst of adrenaline is needed, and we all hear about adrenaline junkies, and what we mean by that is those people who take great pleasure in flinging themselves outside of perfectly functioning aircraft or, you know, which I really can't say too much about because I actually did that one. And the idea that some people develop this longing and this need to experience that adrenaline rush, bungee jumping, not something I've got a desire to do. But, you know, that gives that instant rush. And that little burst of adrenaline can be really euphoric in that moment. The problem is when it becomes an addiction and it takes more and more. You know, if you do that stuff a lot, it actually takes more and more to get to that point of that little adrenaline high, which means that you have to, in order to increase the stress, which increases the adrenaline, you have to increase the risk. And that's when bad things can happen. There's an old saying that nothing good ever followed. Hey, watch this. So when we talk about little short-term bursts of stress, now, you know, let's look at the physiological effects of stress. You know, what is it literally doing in the body when we take away all of the story that goes with it? One is blood is shifted from, you know, what's considered the less vital parts of the body to the most vital organs. So, say, blood would, you know, you might get tingly hands. Some people who experience stress stress, you know, experience tingling in their hands or in their feet. Well, that's because the body is trained to protect itself. The body is trained to supply for its own preservation. So, you know, let's say, you know, it's about a couple of hundred years ago, maybe 200-300 years, and you live in a really, you know, out there in the woodlands or in, you know, on a farm out somewhere, and a bear shows up. Well, that, I would say, would probably be appropriate stress. And what happens is that the body immediately kicks in. Okay, we need to marshal all of our resources to get out of this situation. So, as I said, blood is diverted from less vital parts of the body to the most vital organs, which means that it wants to make sure that the brain is fed. It wants to make sure that the heart is fed. It wants to make sure that everything that it needs in order to do a quick, spontaneous action is there. It increases the heart rate, which supplies more blood throughout the body, you know, in order to supply muscles with oxygen. It increases the blood pressure, which also increases that supply level. And it increases your respiratory rate to get more oxygen out of the atmosphere and into your body. Now, there's also a breakdown of what's called glycogen stores in the liver. And what this is, you know, it's a medical term. And what it does is it breaks down energy stores that are stored in the liver and turns it into glucose. And that is something that, you know, the body can feed off of. It's an immediate fuel that gives an immediate spurt. And also the brain, its favorite form of nutrient is glucose. And it, you know, stress also triggers the formation of more glucose from, you know, the non-carbohydrate, you know, substances in the body. So these are all things that allow you to, one, respond quickly, to think with, you know, that thing where people say is like, you know, during a stressful moment or during an accident, everything slows down. And it's almost like things are going in slow motion. That's because the mind is working very quickly. And it means that, you know, it marshaled everything to survive the next few minutes. So, you know, it, at a time when that type of immediate response was necessary, that was great. I mean, you know, you hope that the bear doesn't show up at the farm every single day. But, you know, for a quick, immediate response, and we've all felt that, you know, everybody who has ever been in like a near-miss car accident or somebody swerves in front of you and you do that immediate response where it's like brake or shift or turn the wheel, and then afterwards there's that trembling that your body has. Well, that's because of the fact that your body immediately triggered what it needed to trigger to, in its perception, protect you. So when we talk about short-term effects of stress, and actually there's been research, there's a foundation called the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, and they've done a lot of research into things that short-term stress can actually help with. And it includes everything from, you know, recovery from surgeries. Because also one of the other things that that stress response does, it takes into account that, you know, say you may be exposed to something or there may be an open wound or for some reason your immune system needs to kick up even higher. And in short-term stress, they've actually shown that there's an increase in the immune system activity. Because the body is always like, okay, you know, if a bear bites us, we're going to need to, you know, marshal up as much immune, you know, system activity as we can in order to counteract that. The problem is, you know, and here's the other side of the coin is when it becomes long-term stress, when the adrenaline does not come down, when it stays at that high level, and it just goes from one stress state to another stress state. And, you know, when you back stress states up one after another after another, that's where the problem comes in. That's where the piece of being out of control comes in. And that's where the place, you know, kicks in where we are not choosing a response. We are reacting based on, you know, instinct. We're reacting. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And which is interesting, the knee-jerk reaction, the concept of that came from taking the reflex at the knee. You know, and everybody's been smacked in the knee by the, you know, the doctor with the little rubber hammer, and how that just is a spontaneous stimulus response reaction. And when we talk about the idea that, you know, once stress goes from a short-term spurt, that can actually serve to, you know, kind of kick things up, and it's like, oh, okay, I can do this. You know, I can, you know, people can be able to function in ways that they normally cannot function. You know, there's can be more endurance. There's been many cases where they've talked about people who have these overwhelming demonstrations of strength in a moment of crisis, and they do things that they normally would not be able to do. And I have a personal experience with this, actually, because when I was younger, you know, sometime in my early 20s, you know, late teens, early 20s, I was in a car with my younger brother. And we were driving along, we were just going onto a freeway, and there was a truck, and then there was another car, and there was a trash can, and the truck swerved to miss the trash can. A car that was trying to, what it was trying to do was get up and move around the truck, trying to get onto the freeway, you know, before the truck got up there. It was trying to pass it. Well, when that happened, the person swerved, overcompensated, and flipped the car. And so, and my brother and I were right behind that vehicle. So, you know, suddenly there's dust in the air, there's all this stuff, and it's crazy. And so we run up to the car, and it's upside down, and the one of the guardrail posts is through the engine. And it's like, okay, that can't be good. And the frame of the vehicle had bent. You know, the car was now sitting on the roof, and the frame of the vehicle had bent. And I've watched as my brother, who was, I think he was like maybe 18 at the time, 18 or 19 at the time. And, I mean, you know, he's a strong guy, but not unbelievably strong. He grabbed the door, and I hear metal bending, and I watched him pull that door open. And later on, when the police officers arrived, they said, you know, it's like, well, how'd you get the door open? I said, well, my brother opened it. And it's like, no, really, how did you get the door open? And the idea that in that moment, because inside this car was, you know, it was a family, a pregnant woman. There were, you know, like two children. The dad was driving. And there was, I don't know, there were three children. One was like about 13. And in that moment, I sat and I watched my brother do something that I quite honestly did not believe he would have been able to do. But he wasn't even thinking of it. And to him, when I asked him about it later, he said, I don't know. I just pulled and I didn't feel like it was going to resist. He said, you know, I knew I was going to open that door. And it wasn't a conscious thing. It was just a reaction. And then, you know, after everything happened, you know, we were calm. We're totally able to take care of the people there, and the paramedics arrived, and, you know, and thank God everyone was okay. I mean, how these folks did not get hurt in when that car went over, I don't know. But, you know, everybody was okay, and it was wonderful. Well, we both get home, and then we're just looking at each other, and, you know, he's looking at me, my face is going pale. I'm looking at him, his face is going pale, and we both sit down. And that's when it kicked in, when that adrenaline dropped, and we both experienced that drop. It was just, you know, I mean, and I know that many of you out there have experienced that, where it's like, oh, my God, what just happened? And then we start telling ourselves, what could have happened and how it could have happened. And that's where, you know, the after stress goes in, because that's the part that keeps you up at night. Because that's what it's like, oh, my God, what if the engine had exploded and we were right there and da-da-da-da and all this. So when we talk about that idea that in that moment your body is going to trigger itself to give you exactly what you need, as opposed to, oh my God, I hate my job. Oh my gosh, I don't get along with my family, or, you know, I've got money problems. I've got this, I've got that. When you take yourself to that level and you stay there, you know, it doesn't matter if you go there, just don't pitch a tent. Except that, you know, whatever that situation is, it's like, okay, what is the best way that I can let go of this, you know, and not hold on to this stress? What is the best way that I can manage? And sometimes that's really, really hard, because it may be a situation that you cannot do anything about. Maybe your job is just really, really taking its toll on you. And right now, in this economy, in what we're doing, you know, in this daily world of just trying to, you know, keep home and hearth together, that it is not possible to just leave one job and find another, because it's very difficult to go out there and find another job. So it's almost like being stuck between a rock and a hard place. And it could also be in relationships. It's, you know, that you're with somebody, or you have somebody in your family or chosen family. And if things are stressful, it, you know, I mean, you don't want to cut off that relationship. You just want to, you know, do a stressectomy, and it's like, you know, either they need to calm down about something, or you need to calm down about something. Somewhere there is a lack of communication. And being able to manage situations where it's not as easy as just walking away. It's not, you know, as easy as just saying, it's like, well, just don't be stressed about it. Hello, welcome to the human condition. We're going to get stressed. It's a part of why we're here. As, you know, for those of you who believe as spiritual beings, we are here to learn stuff. And sometimes it's just a matter of being able to let something go that is not going to go your way anyway. Even if you know the right way to do it, you know, I'm a mother, and, you know, I thank God every single day for my sons. And there are times when it's really hard not to want to step in and manage, because I feel that my life experience gives me more ability to make better choices, but I can't make those choices for them. So I have to sit back. I've got to watch. I've got to witness, and then just kind of let them manage it. Because without that stress, without them going through what they need to go through, and without them kind of suffering a little bit, I mean, it breaks my heart. You know, any time that anything happens in their universe that is not just totally beautiful. And, you know, when I hear the pain and frustration in them, you know, anybody who has a loved one who has ever been through something that you cannot do anything to change, it just breaks your heart. You know, that is a whole new level of stress, because it's not even a stress that you can do something about for yourself. It's someone you love. And that is so hard to deal with. You know, when you've got someone close to you who you know is going through, you know, something really tough, and you can offer them nothing more than just saying, you know what, I'm here. Let me know what I can do. Or if seeing that they've got a particular need, help out with it. And knowing when, you know what, maybe they need to be in the dark and stinky for a while. Maybe this is something that they need to go through in order to learn what they need to learn and to be more empowered on the other side of it. I mean, in many cases, stress is related to a fear. And, you know, while fear is not fun, fear has its good points. Fear keeps us safe to a certain degree, but the shadow side of fear is that it can be paralyzing, and it can induce this type of stress. And, you know, we want to spare our loved ones that. And keep in mind that sometimes fear is something that moves us forward. Fear is something that strengthens us, because once you get on the other side of the fear and the stress, and that stress eases back, there's this huge sense of accomplishment. You know what? I don't have to be scared, because I was able to face that. I was able to deal with that. And in that moment, maybe I just reacted, but, you know, it all worked out. And now I'm stronger. So, you know, when we look at how stress affects us, you know, sometimes there are some upsides to it. It's only when it becomes a chronic thing and then it starts to feed off itself. One stress leads to another. And, you know, and it can happen as innocently as, you know, wow, that person's got a really cool watch. Oh, I remember my teacher had a really cool watch like that. What was her name? Oh, gee, you know, she really gave me a bad time. And then there was that girl in the class that she always favored over me. Man, you know what? Why did she do that? Why the heck did she do that? You know, because I worked really hard. And then it spins out and spins out, and what was just, oh, gee, that's a nice watch. Now it's this old wound that's being rehashed and rehashed, not resolved, but rehashed. And then you're laying there in the middle of the night thinking about this watch and this person that irritated you and not getting the sleep you need, not getting the rest you need. One of the other issues with stress is that maybe it's a sign that we do not have realistic expectations of something. That we're viewing something from the perspective of the hurtful place that exists between the world the way it is and the world the way we want it. And it's in that space that, you know, we really don't like being. Because, of course, we would all love to have the world the way we want it. And if we want expectations, if we set expectations on ourselves, if we set expectations on others, that really are not realistic. You know, I mean, sometimes the people we love, we set a really high bar for, and that can be very, very painful. Then they get resentful. Or somebody sets a really high bar for us. Well, you should know better. You should, I come to you because you can handle it. You should be able to handle this. And the stress that that creates, I mean, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but when I hear that, that is really hard. Because then I start my self-judgment. And I have an unrealistic expectation for myself that no matter what, I can, you know, see all the parameters, see all the variables, and react. And none of us are that. None of us can do that. None of us can be that all the time. I mean, if you get like three quarters of the time that you're in that space, hey, kudos. If you get half the time that you're in that space, kudos. You know, it's a matter of us being gentle with ourselves and just kind of taking a deep breath sometimes and saying, you know what? I'm not going to get my way. And sometimes just doing that is the beginning of releasing the stress. Because the worst stress we encounter does not come from outside, it comes from inside. And when we reach that place of surrender, and you know, and sometimes it almost makes you laugh, where it's like, you know what? I'm not going to get my way. And it's through no fault, but I'm just not, you know, there's an old saying, some days you get the bear, and some days the bear gets you. You know, some days you're the bug, and some days you're the windshield. And, you know, it's all about being able to accept the stress is going to happen. And sometimes, you know, for those of you who are under constant stress, things like post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, bless your heart. And that, you know, and understand that doesn't just happen with people who have been in the military or emergency responders. You know, post-traumatic stress is when you have encountered and dealt with something that really was overwhelming, that was really huge, that most people do not deal with. And it leaves that imprint, and it leaves that fear and that stress response and that urgency to defend, you know, either yourself or someone else. You know, sometimes we just have to say, you know what, I'm not going to get my way, and that's okay. And that person, you know, because sometimes it's other people who want us to do certain things and to be that, you know, that rock of Gibraltar and to be that person that is always there to depend on. And sometimes it means, you know what, I can't be there for you in this way right now. There's nothing I can do but hold you in prayer. I will hold you in good thought. and I will do the best I can. And I, you know, we are, no one is responsible for making any other person happy. Yeah, it's great when we can help, but it's not our job. You know, I remember there was an old episode of MASH, and one of the characters said, minding my own business is a full-time job, and in my spare time, it's my hobby. And I found that to be really profound because, you know, it's like, while I can do everything I can to put out good things in the world and to help other people, their path is their path. And sometimes there has to be pain on that path for that person to grow. If I spare them that, I take away all the good that they could have learned from it. And being able to set really good boundaries and to allow other people to go through what they need to go through in a loving way, but in a firm way. You know, to take on something for somebody else does not necessarily serve them. And in a lot of cases, it reduces the potential of being able to grow. And it also means that if they don't get the lesson, they're going to repeat it. So it's really important. And, you know, I hope everybody just really is very gentle with themselves and works on being gentle with themselves and gentle with others. And like I said, take a deep breath, let that out, and say, you know what? I'm not going to get my way. And just surrendering to that, because sometimes, yeah, it's just not in the cards. But there are other cards that have been dealt. There are better cards that have been dealt. And it's trusting that the universe does know what it's doing. And just making it through, moving it through. Focus on something, even if it's like, well, you know what, next year I'm going to win the lottery. And when I do that and I'm having no money problems, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be great. And, you know, tell you, if you have to tell yourself a story, tell yourself a good one until it gets better. So thank you all for listening. There's some exciting stuff that is coming up, and I just want to share that with you a little bit. I encourage everyone to go to the meetup.com. Those, all of you who are in the Bay Area, meetup.com, and search Divine Events. That is the meetup group that my friend and teacher Norbus is the organizer for. And we've got some really great events coming up. There's we've got trance dances. We've got classes that we give. I'm doing my Druidry class that will be a weekend intensive March 9th, 10th, and 11th. I will be here at the Center for Creative Living with a book signing on March 4th, and that'll be at 10 in the morning. And there'll be like a service that I'll be giving and talking about my book, and then I'll be doing a book signing. And once again, anybody who comes in and says that you are a Healing House Radio listener, you will get your book for free. I'm also teaching my every other Thursday, my second and fourth Thursday of the month Druidry class. It's the same class as the weekend one, but, you know, for those people who not go into one weekend and want to spread it out over evenings, you know, that's available too. I will also be at the Martin Luther King Library on March 25th. And just, you know, visit our website, www.frequenciesthebook.com, and you'll find out stuff about my book signings and things like that. And you can also check out my office website at www.the-healing-house.com. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, if you would like to, you know, have me come out to wherever you are, I love traveling. And we can come out there and have some fun, and, you know, we can do some talks, and we can hang out. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, I would love to hear them. And at either one of those websites, you can be able to get a hold of me. All right, for those of you who are online, I'll be going into the chat room for a little bit after this show. So blessings to everybody. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next Thursday at 2 o'clock. This is Dr. Eileen, and thanks for listening.